Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Somebody save your soul because you've been sinning in the city. I know too many troubles. All these lovers got you losing control. You like a drug.
Hey there, what's up? Welcome into Locked On Kings. Thank you so much for finding us here on the Locked On Network. I'm Jason Ross. We appreciate you joining us, hopefully each and every day, Monday through Friday, as we're going to bring you daily content revolving around the NBA and your Sacramento Kings. We're still a day away or so from the very emotional return. We expect it to be emotional return for DeMarcus Cousins, as the Kings and Pelicans will take place on Thursday at Golden 1 Center. Pelicans played on Tuesday night. Injury for them, an interesting night, certainly with Anthony Davis going down to injury early in that game, hurting his knee. Whether or not he'll be given a go to play on Thursday remains to be seen. It's a heavy dose of DeMarcus Cousins in Portland. They fell short, and expect a heavy dose of DeMarcus Cousins Thursday at Golden 1 Center when the Kings take on the New Orleans Pelicans. We got plenty to get to today, including one of the things we're going to discuss today is the fact that we are exactly 1 week into the NBA season, and we're going to give you way too early evaluations on the Sacramento Kings and the NBA, but some early impressions so far, as some teams have played three games, some teams have played four, nobody's played five games just yet. Every single team has had their road opener, every single team but Atlanta has had their home opener, so it'll all start to even out, and some teams, I would say, have had more difficult schedules, some have had easier roads. As of now, we only have a couple of teams without a win. That's the Chicago Bulls in the East and the New York Knicks, both currently at 0-3, and the only winless team in the West is the Dallas Mavericks at 0-4. As far as the undefeated teams, in 1 week, we're already down to four teams, and they're all 3-0 at this point. You've got the Spurs, the Grizzlies, and the Clippers. The Clippers, who won on Tuesday night defeating the Utah Jazz, went to 3-0. And, of course, the Washington Wizards, who will be at Golden 1 Center on Sunday, the only Eastern Conference team that is 3-0. And I would say there's a couple of early trends that are interesting and early surprises that are going on in the NBA. And I guess we'll kind of go with that theme. One thing that's been interesting to watch so far, to me, has been the Brooklyn Nets. And I wouldn't have expected that, but this team has come in with a game plan, and they are going to score. They are scoring 123 points per game. Again, it's early. They've only played four games, but they have the most points in the NBA by a decent margin, even more than the Warriors, by about 3 points per game, but 123 points per game. That is impressive. What's concerning if you're Brooklyn, they're giving up 122 points per game. As far as the Western Conference, the Warriors lead the league in scoring there. One of the early interesting stats as far as point differential, and usually at the end of the year, that is something that really separates the great teams from the good teams. And right now, the leader in the Eastern Conference in point differential is the Toronto Raptors. They're scoring 114, giving up 93, so that's plus 15. In the West, you got two teams with really good marks. The Portland Trail Blazers are 3-1, but their point differential is 18-2, which is fantastic. But the number one in the NBA is the Clippers at 25.3. They've had three convincing wins, and they're giving up 88 points per game while scoring 113. So that 88 points per game is pretty darn impressive. As far as the fewest points allowed per game, yeah, that belongs to the Clippers, then the San Antonio Spurs, and then the Memphis Grizzlies. Those have been the stingiest defenses so far. That all isn't really that surprising. The worst scoring team in the NBA right now, and the Sacramento Kings aren't far from that group, but the very bottom of the list, the New York Knicks at 93.3. Some other early season, and again, way early observations of what's going on in the NBA. If you look at just kind of where teams are in the early going, you look at the Clippers, the Wizards, the Grizzlies, and the Spurs. I don't know ultimately that's that surprising. I'm a little surprised about Memphis at 3-0 and the quality of wins that they have had so far, being able to defeat the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. So they've got a good early season resume. Watching Giannis Antetokounmpo early on, he has been terrific all over the court defensively, and then offensively has just taken his game to maybe two or three levels higher. A couple of teams that people were very excited about that they thought could do some damage. And again, these are just early season observations. All this stuff can change. Minnesota was kind of a darling early on. People expect them to make the playoffs, and they still obviously can. They have gotten off to an okay start, I would say, at 2-2. People were very excited about the Philadelphia 76ers. They got their first win. They are just 1-3. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder, a little bit of a slow start for them at 1-2. And to be honest, I honestly think it's a slow start for the Golden State Warriors. I don't think they have to worry about anything. I think they're absolutely fine. But they are 2-2, and I don't think they've played anywhere remotely close to their best basketball. As far as the Kings' next opponent, that'll be the New Orleans Pelicans. They come in at 1-3 after losing on Tuesday night to the Portland Trail Blazers. And New Orleans, it's been sadly predictable, I think, how they are playing. Again, 1-3. They lost to the Warriors. They lost to Portland. But this team, and they lost to Memphis. This team is very top heavy. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis are doing all of the work. They're trying to get help from shooters. I don't think they have very many on that team. They're a team that's light on guys that can consistently knock down the three. What they're relying on is DeMarcus Cousins to hit a majority of their three-pointers. And DeMarcus can do it, is a very skilled shooter. But I think what they miss with him shooting threes is his knack for bruising other teams in the paint. And if he can mix and match that like he did pretty effectively with the Sacramento Kings, I think that'll ultimately make them their best self. But what is that? I mean, if you look at what they start, I mean, they start DeMarcus with Anthony Davis. Then the next three, Dante Cunningham, Etuan Moore, and Drew Holiday. Just not a lot there. The front court is thin after DeMarcus and Anthony Davis. They're getting contributions, though, from Tony Allen, Ian Clark, Jameer Nelson, and they're still waiting on the return of Rajon Rondo, the ex-King, who will be out for still quite some time. One other note about the Kings and the New Orleans Pelicans that I wanted to bring up was the return of DeMarcus and how that will be, I don't know, how that will be received by Kings fans, I guess would be my theme. And I've really thought a lot about this, and it all to me is going to be contingent on how the Sacramento Kings organization handles it. I've got a little intel on how that's going to go, and I think based on that, it's going to lend itself to DeMarcus Cousins getting an ovation. And, you know, you've heard me. I thought this organization needed to do what they did. I'm glad they did what they did as far as moving on from DeMarcus. They gave him plenty of opportunities to try to find his way into a playoff berth, to build around him. I'm glad they didn't commit to him long term as far as what the money would have cost them, and I just don't know that they would have any way, shape, or form gotten to where they want to go. And so they moved on, and that's fine, and there doesn't need to be any animosity towards DeMarcus, but I just think there'll be a few people that may not be as supportive of his return, but there will be plenty in the building that will be happy to see DeMarcus back. And I assume that he will get a nice ovation. But you know the way it works. You can have a building full of people cheering and just a few making some noise in a negative direction with a few boos, and you'd hear just those. But if there's going to be a loud cheer, that could drown out a lot of the booing that could happen. But we'll see. I don't know. Kings fans, for the most part, have been very supportive of anybody that comes back. And I'm anxious to see how that goes. And then the next part of that is, how will DeMarcus handle not only how that goes, but what will be an emotional night for him? Will Sacramento Kings players try to agitate him, get under his skin, see if they can affect him in a way that derails his game? They know him as well as anybody. They've practiced against him. They've traveled with him. They've played as teammates with him, a lot of these guys. And a guy that I know he's had some battles with is Zach Randolph. And Zach won't back down from anybody. So I think that those two could put on quite a physical show in a league that's got a lot of big guys that are out and about shooting threes. Those two both do that. But they might actually give us some of that gritty and grind and physical nature in the paint too, which could be pretty fun to watch on Thursday. Also at this point, guys, I want to tell you about something that the Locked On Network has launched. And there's a lot of things we've got coming up on the Locked On Network that I'm excited about, but one of them is this, and it's Wednesdays are going to become draft days on the Locked On Network, and Locked On Kings is no different. And by draft, it's fantasy basketball. So here's what you've got. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to check out this app, and it's called the Draft app. It's my favorite app right now because it's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like those other opportunities. Some of those other things are daily fantasy where you get a salary cap, you pick your team, and that's fine, but you can have a lot of people with the same team. On draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long NBA draft. So if you've been in a season-long league and you drafted before the start of the season, that's your team. You can make trades. That's how that all works. But what's great about draft is on the app, you can draft your team every day, a new team, going up against other people. So here's how it works. It's just like the draft that lasts for just one night and there's no management, just set it and forget it. That's how that all goes. Once you're done drafting, there's no trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of the last minute injuries for you. So draft starts every couple of minutes, so you can join one, right now. Why don't you do it? And check out mine on Locked On Kings. And the best part, play for cash, real cash. Draft starts from just $1. So there's a draft for everyone. There's no salary caps. You play in real live snake drafts, just like you would. 1 through 10, 10 through 1, and you pick a couple of guards, a couple of forwards, and a center, and you get your points that way. And the winner wins some money. It's that simple. So come and join me on Draft today. Download the app. You can do that anytime. But just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes or play right from your computer on draft.com whenever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into Draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code, which is LOKINGS. LOKINGS is the promo code, and it's real money for free. You can play that, right? Play a real money game for free just for using my promo code LOKINGS on your first deposit on Draft. So I've got a league set up in there. I hope you can get in there and play against me and play against other Kings fans. Let's do it. Let's have some fun. We're going to do this every Wednesday on the Locked On Network. It's going to be Draft Wednesday. I'm going to tell you about it each and every Wednesday, but keep your eye out on it. Look at the Draft app on your phone or go to draft.com on the computer and let's play. Let's have some fun and sign up for my league. And again, Locked On Kings. You will find the league, but LO Kings is the promo code, and let's do it. Let's have some fun on Draft. So thank you so much for that. But I do want to continue on a few other things regarding the Sacramento Kings. And again, this is the very early assessment, right, on this team. But I've done some research on these early numbers, and I thought you guys might be interested in, again, it's just four games, some of the early trends of what we're seeing for the Sacramento Kings. And if you look at all the major statistics around the league, there's some things that are showing up that we thought might be an issue, and it's kind of playing true to form. Where the Kings are near the bottom in the league so far out of 30 teams, field goal percentage, shooting just 25%, shooting 25th out of the league, out of 30. Their field goal percentage is hurting them. Where they're better than a majority of the teams, they are 6th in the NBA currently in three-point percentage. So they're not attempting many amongst the league. They're 27th out of 30 in attempts, but when they shoot them, they make them at a better clip than most, so they're shooting 6th best in the league from the three-point line. The numbers that are scary to me is the foul line, the freebies, the points you want to get, the points you need to get, the points that every other team is getting, but not the Kings. In free throw attempts, Kings are third to last. In free throw makes, the Kings are third to last. And in free throw percentage, they are 25th out of 30. So 28 out of 30 in the other category, 25th out of 30, 25 out of 30 in free throw percentage. This team needs to find a way to get in the penalty, to get to the basket, to create more foul shot opportunities. And I think a few bench guys are better at it than the starters. And they're settling for more jumpers, for more perimeter game, not getting to the paint, not creating contact, not getting teams in the penalty. They did a much better job of that against Phoenix. But the other first three games, they were averaging 12 attempts a game. That's not going to get it done. When you play DeMarcus on Thursday, when you play James Harden, those guys by themselves generally get about 12 attempts a game. So that's an area that has to get better. Coach was worried about rebounding. They're actually closer to middle of the pack in rebounding, but it's probably because they're shooting poorly, so there's more rebounds available. Assists, the Kings are third to last. And that's not an indictment on them hogging the ball. I think they move the ball enough. It's just they're not creating easy baskets for one another. They're moving it and settling for jump shots, and that's not conducive to assists. And so it's not isolation like they would have at times with Rudy and DeMarcus. They move it, but 28th in the league in assists. In turnovers, this is a great number and kind of a little surprising to me. They are 6th in the league in fewest turnovers. And with such a young roster and a lot of young guys out there, they're doing okay in that department. That's winning basketball if you're in the top 6 in turnovers on a nightly basis. That's going to put you in a chance to win, and that's what they did in Phoenix. They turned Phoenix over 20-plus times. They only turned it over 9. That should have been enough to win. Unfortunately, it wasn't. They're decent in steals with 11th in the league, near the bottom in blocks, and 4th to last in points. So those are some things that, just to get an early gauge, just 1 week into the season, some of the numbers we're looking at for the Sacramento Kings. A couple of other things that I looked up, and again, keep this in mind, it's just 1 week into the season. Kings have only played 4 games, so it's the very, very, very early assessment of some of the lineups. But the best 5 lineup that the Sacramento Kings have run out there this year for the best plus-minus and the most effective kind of stat line across the board has been a 5 of Willie Cauley-Stein, Buddy Hield, George Hill, Scalabissier, and Garrett Temple. That group has been the 5 that has been the most effective, but they haven't played that many minutes together. And so that's another thing you have to keep in mind. And really, all of the kind of machinations of lineups that the Kings have had out there haven't played that many minutes because there's just been 4 games. They give you the best 5, 4, 3, and 2. What's interesting, the best 2-man lineup the Sacramento Kings have had. Here's an example of how small the sample size is. They've only played 4 games. Well, it came the other day when De'Aaron Fox and Bogdan Bogdanovic, that has been the most effective 2 men on the floor together. And that only happened in the Phoenix game. In fact, Bogdan is involved in a lot of the better lineups because they're plus-minus. Remember, they were down big. When he was on the floor, they came back. So that's going to be a number that affects him in a positive way. But I would like to see those guys continue to grow, play together. They look like they had something going pretty well and effectively against Phoenix. We'll see if they get that opportunity to play together as well against the Phoenix Suns. Against the New Orleans Pelicans, I should say. So all in all, a couple other things regarding the Sacramento Kings. I wouldn't be surprised if this team continues to start slowly if Dave Yeager ultimately changes the starting lineup. He's been comfortable with the same lineup for the last 3 games. I know a lot of people have contacted me on social media saying, why isn't De'Aaron Fox starting? I think that's going to happen soon. I think that's my best guess. But remember, he's still playing a lot of minutes, and I find it interesting how coach has used him. He has generally started on the bench, obviously, right? That's where he's begun. But then when he comes in, he usually plays the rest of the half. He did that against Phoenix. And then in the second half, he came in late third quarter and played the rest of the game. So he's getting quality minutes in, about 30 minutes the last game he played. And I could see that being his minute total for a while. And I just like how he's peppering the stat sheet. He's scoring. He's rebounding. He's creating from others with assists. He's so quick defensively. And I just think there needs to be more floor time. And I'm going to reiterate what kind of, to me, the whole premise of this entire season for the Sacramento Kings is to find the guys that you're going to go forward with. That's what it's about. And, you know, on my radio show that I'm on with Damian Barling every day, The Lowdown on Sports 1140, we took a couple of calls on Tuesday where we had Kings fans in a broad spectrum. Some were complaining and saying it's going to be another year without the playoffs. I'm getting so frustrated with this. I can't be patient anymore. And I don't know why the game in Phoenix derailed everybody, but that was kind of the mood for some fans. And others that were seeing it as kind of truly a fresh start, ready to build, ready to be patient. And I get it. I kind of get both sides of it. I'm closer to the latter where I understood what they did when they traded DeMarcus Cousins, knowing that it was going to be difficult to start the climb. But that's how they've done it. That's what they elected to do. And now they're figuring out what they're going to be. And it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have missteps like they did in Phoenix. They're going to have some good wins too. But in the end, this season could be a 20-win season, a 40-win season, or a 60-win season. And I don't think it changes one thing of what they're doing. If they're as great as 60 wins, which obviously seems totally unheard of, they're way ahead of schedule. They love their draft. Their veterans are playing right. Coach is coaching them well. Things are great. And if they win 20, I don't look at it as a complete negative unless you don't find these young guys to be developing. I would almost say this team is going to be better in December, in February, in March. You know, just as you go on, that's what has to happen, and individuals will look better. We'll have a better idea of lineups. We'll have a better idea of which veterans you want to kind of maybe move on from. All those things need to be figured out, and they're not going to happen in four games. And that's kind of why I wanted to do this assessment of where they are right now, just 1 week into the season. The NBA season started a week ago Tuesday with a couple of games. It's only been a week, and we're trying to make all these grand assessments of what this team is. We'll probably feel a little bit, have a, you know, more intel this time next week and the week after and so on and so forth. So I'm going to do this periodically, check in on kind of the state of the team, and it seems silly to do it after four games, but that's what a lot of people do and make their full evaluations of what, hey, this is what this team is going to be like. Well, how do we know? What if they win four straight? What if they lose the next four? You're going to feel differently almost every night about each player, each lineup, the way the team is constructed, and it changes that fast. But here's where we are now, 1-3, waiting for Boogie's return and seeing what lineups will be effective for Coach Jaeger. So thank you so much for listening. And again, check out draft.com or go to the app in the App Store and look up Draft and get in that league with me. Locked On Kings, let's play for Wednesday. Let's get some two guards, two forwards, and a center. You'll play against me and nine other Kings fans. So let's do it. Let's get in there at draft.com. Thank you so much for listening. We're back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Don't be spooked. Safeway has your back this Halloween season, and not just for candy. You'll find all kinds of quick, easy, and delicious meals for Halloween. It's a busy time of year, and your neighborhood Safeway makes it easy. Right now with your club card, select varieties of Signature Select Pizza, a family favorite, are two for $8. And select varieties of McCormick Taco Fajita or Chili Seasoning are three for just $2. Safeway. It's just better.